34 years. Can you raise your hand? And several people have been saved longer than I've been alive. I'll tell you this. I don't know. It's, you know, you get to thinking about something like that. You can trust Jesus. Some people might would say, well, Brother Jared, you really don't, you know, you hadn't been around long enough to really experience a whole awful lot and, you know, to know much about trusting Jesus. And I'll tell you this, I've not been around as long as some of you knowing about trusting Jesus. But my testimony is this, that in 34 years, I can testify to the fact that I feel like I can trust Jesus up to this point. Amen. You say, well, now, Brother Jared, I've been around. Hey, I understand that, but I hope that I'm saying the same thing at when I'm 44 and 54 and 64 and 74. Amen. Can you believe you can trust Jesus tonight? Amen. You think he'll take care of you? Amen. Amen. I believe he will. I mean, up until this point, you know, I know David said that he had been young and then he was old and he had not seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread, and that's a great blessing. And I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily old at this point, but I'm older than I was yesterday. And up until now, I've not seen him forsake one of his children yet. I'll tell you what he will do, it seems like I've seen him do this, is sometimes he'll let you go through something exactly what Brother Turner was saying last night. You might think that he forgot about you. And if you've been saved very long at all, you probably have been through some of that. Like that song says there, I've prayed some prayers and felt they never were heard. I've prayed those. I mean, in a dark time, in a hard time, and you sit outside and you look up at the stars. I was telling Brother Gene last night, I said, sometimes it's hard to go outside and be looking up at the stars and thinking, you done got to a point you're thinking, I wonder how them things really did get there. Amen. You say, well, see, that's exactly what he's talking about last night. You get to thinking, I mean, honest to God, and you say, well, Brother Jared, you know in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Yeah, I know that's what the book said, but when the faith begins to wear thin, man, you start looking up and you're saying, but I'll tell you what, with the little bitty thread of faith that you might still have in the Word of God, then there's just enough for you to get up the next Sunday and preach and say, you can trust the Lord, man, you can trust this book right here. I'll tell you what, you may be wearing thin, but like you said, faith is a choice. Amen. You get up and you just say, you know what, I'm just going to choose to believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And he may not be answering my prayer and doing exactly what I think he ought to do right now. And I'm going to tell you what, looking back over the whole thing, I'm glad that God does not do what I think he ought to do. Amen. My word, you talk about a mess. You talk about a mess. Amen. I'll tell you this, it's been a blessing to be here with you for a few days this week, get a chance to spend some time with Brother Keith and to meet Brother Turner and get a chance to fellowship with them. And a lot of times, I'll talk some. My daddy used to tell me, he'd say, when you get in a crowd with some older preachers, he said, talk enough so that you don't look weird. Don't know what I'm talking about? Some guys, you know, I mean, they got more experience than you, and they've been down the road. He said, you know, you want to say enough where they don't think, oh, what's wrong with this guy? You know, they don't ever say anything. You talk enough so you don't look weird, he said, but make sure that you're sitting there listening and trying to glean some things. And I thank God for just the fellowship time with these brothers this week and getting to glean some things and learn some things and just pick up some stuff. Just a real blessing, and I appreciate that and appreciate the message that we heard last night. I didn't get to be here, of course, on Sunday, but that was a real blessing last night, and just praise God for that. And I love Brother Keith Parker, and I appreciate his friendship, and I appreciate it, I believe, more today than I ever have in my life. So appreciate you, Brother Keith. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Now listen, I've got my stopwatch going. Y'all know I do that sometimes. My battery's very low on my phone, though, so it could go dead. I'm mindful, though, of the ice cream in the back that's already been referenced. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, you know what I'm saying. Y'all know what I'm saying? Don't preach till the ice cream melts. You know what I'm saying? Let's make sure it ain't melted or we know we went too long. I just want to give you something real simple tonight, a simple thought. And out of a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I've preached out of this several times, and most preachers I know have. But just try to get a hold of this tonight, if you will, and just to try to be a word of encouragement to you won't be anything real deep or anything like that, but just try to give you, every now and then, you know, a sermon's just kind of like a B12 shot. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just a spiritual B12. Y'all ever gotten a B12 shot? You know, and it just kind of just give you a little, just a, what they call a shot in the arm. You know, just a little shot in the arm, just an encouragement to kind of just keep going. And I'd like to try to do that tonight. Philippians chapter 3, the Bible says, verse number 10, Paul says here, and this is about 2 years before the Apostle Paul is going to be killed, and it says there at verse number 10, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And I will say this, I believe that goes right along with what brother was saying last night. There is a fellowship in suffering. That's not what I'm necessarily going to preach on tonight, but there is a fellowship in suffering that you do not have. If the Lord is the lily of the valleys, and he is that right? Is the Lord the lily of the valleys? You don't really, the view's real good from the mountaintop, but you can't smell the lily of the valleys from the mountaintop. There's a certain smell that comes through that valley that's not on the mountain. Much as I enjoy the mountain, I love it. We like to go to the mountains. Who in here has ever said, man, we couldn't take a vacation and just go to the valley? Nobody ever done that. Nobody wants to do that. Amen? But when you go down through there, I got Miss Mary Lois for that. The mountain's beautiful to visit and go to and enjoy being up there, and it's great. You get you one of them cabins out there in Gatlinburg, you know, looking over everything, and you feel like you're the king of the world, you know what I mean? And then the credit card bill comes in that you put the cabin rental on. But, you know, when you go through those valleys there, there's certain things that grow down in the valleys that do not grow up on the mountaintop. So he says there that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Sometimes when you go through those sufferings, there will be fellowship. I mean, I don't really know that there was any kind of what we might call a theophany, the Lord literally physically showing up in the person of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. I don't know that there would have been that if the three Hebrew children had not have ever went into the furnace. You follow what I'm saying? There's no record of them ever seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, or seeing the Lord, rather, Son of God, before they went in the furnace. You follow what I mean? But they got some pretty good fellowship in the furnace. Wasn't nobody going to bother them, I'll tell you that. Had some private time. Amen? So there'll be some times when you're going through some things that, you know, that there's certain fellowship that you're not going to have until you go through the valley. Now he says there, verse number 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help me to preach for a few minutes. Thank you, Lord, for the good spirit in here. Lord, it's just light, and it's easy to get up here and preach, Lord, in that kind of environment, Lord. And thank you, Lord. And Lord, you even said, Lord, where the spirit of the Lord is, that there's liberty. And Lord, I believe that's why there's liberty. Lord, I don't know that we really could take that truly. And Father, Lord, that liberty comes from the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And thank you for that being here tonight, Lord, and the brethren dwelling together in unity and seeing these different churches out here, Father. And Lord, just wanting to come try to hear something from your book, something from you. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd give them something tonight. And again, Lord, I know, Father, this won't be too deep and it won't be too hard to get. But Father, I pray, Lord, it might just be an encouragement to somebody. Lord, we don't ever know who's hanging on. Lord, we don't ever know who's got that one little thread that they're hanging by. And I pray, God, you'd strengthen that tonight. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Paul the Apostle here talks about, and I'm going to preach to you tonight on pressing on. Pressing on. And Paul the Apostle talks about, he said, that I need to be reaching forward. I need to keep going forward. Could you say amen about that?
Amen.
You need to keep going forward and keep trying to reach and trying to press on, but there's going to be some things that are going to try to stop your progress, if you will, along the way. And I believe we can get them right here out of this text. Now, the Bible says right here, look at verse number 12. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. You see that? Also, he says, 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Let me say this, and I've just got 3 points. I got a whole bunch of subpoints, but I only got 3 points. But listen, the first thing I want to tell you is this, is a false sense of arrival will keep you from moving forward. Amen. Let's go and get this one out of the way right quick. A false sense of arrival, feeling like you have went far enough and there's nothing else for you to do, no more mountains to climb, there's no more hills for you to take, if you will. And when you think that you've done enough and you've come far enough, when you finally draw that line of now I'm officially spiritual, I've got nowhere else to go, and I've made it. I mean, whatever, listen, I'll tell you what, your spiritual accomplishments can become a great, great stumbling block to you. Your spiritual accomplishments can become a great stumbling block. So, Brother Jared, I don't know about that. But listen, you go ahead and purpose that you're going to read all the way through your Bible. And when you get it done, you know what you'll do if you're not careful? You'll fold it up. You'll set it over on the shelf. Why? Because I read it. I went through it. You know what you do? You go back to Genesis and you press through it one more time. Amen. Listen, you can get to a point where you think that you've done enough and that you've went far enough. Y'all, I'll tell you what, when a Christian starts getting stagnant like that, it won't be long. Now, I've heard it said like this. Water can stay clean and water's drinkable and water can stay sweet. And this is on my mind because I was just about to almost preach a message on bitterness tonight, but I think we're right here. But water can stay sweet and water can stay usable. You can swim in it. You can drink it. Not as long as it's flowing. It's moving. When it gets stagnant and it ain't got nowhere else to flow and nowhere else to go, you don't want to drink that. That's when you come around there and you got them little old mosquito-looking things. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They get to going like it. Ain't nobody wanting to get them a belly full of them. Yeah, right. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Now, honestly, you want something that's flowing and something that's moving. And when you get to a point in your Christian life, this is where the danger comes in when you've been saved for a little bit. You ain't got to worry about that with a new Christian. We got a few new Christians over there at the church, brother, and they are just on fire. I mean, wanting to learn something all the time, just growing and learning and gleaning and all that kind of good stuff. But when people have been saved for a while, and the preacher opens up his Bible, and he says, let's go to Philippians chapter 3, and you think, well, I pretty much know where this is going to wind up. Listen, if you're not careful, you'll get to a point where I've went far enough. I got nothing else to learn. I got nowhere else to go. There's no more flowing in the water, and it gets stagnant. You got to be careful. Listen, if all the stories that you have to tell about what you've done for God happened 5+ years ago, chances are you have hit a false sense of arrival. Amen. In other words, I can look back and feel like I've done a great work, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. But listen, when you get to a point where I'm already perfect. Paul the Apostle said he wasn't. Right. Amen. Amen? Paul said, I've not already attained and I've not already apprehended, but I've met a few Christians that felt like they had pretty much made it. Now, Paul might not have got perfect before he died, but they feel like they're pretty much there. Listen, when you've got you can't grow anymore, you've got no further to go, listen, you're going to stop pressing on, and before you know it, you're going to start getting pressed back. Listen, there's always something else to learn. Listen, do you realize that you always, every single day and every moment of your life, you always have sin in your life that needs to be dealt with? You say, you're talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. You know good and well. You know good and well when you're brushing your teeth and you got that one looking back at you in the mirror. You know that one right there is not already perfect. And if you'll go ahead and decide that, we're going to keep pressing on, we're going to keep moving forward, all of my spiritual accomplishments are not going to be something I did way back there. It won't be long before you'll get stagnant and bitter, and you will be of no service to anybody anymore. Because you ain't trying to move forward no more. You ain't trying to move forward. Listen, there's always some new heights that you can climb. Can you say amen about that? Amen. And I'm not talking about you get you a new checklist. Lord help. You know what I mean? That's what we need a checklist burning sometimes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, really, once I do all these things today, then I'm spiritual. I ain't talking about you need a few more lines on your checklist. But buddy, there's always some things that you can be working toward. Amen. And listen, I'll tell you this. This is just kind of side note. When you get to the point where you feel like you're already perfect and you've already apprehended and you've already attained, it'll be real easy for you to look out. See, you ain't looking in the mirror no more. You put down the looking glass, a man beholding himself in a glass and saying, ooh, Lord, help. I didn't realize all them was on my nose. I need to get some Biore strips. And I got something stuck in my teeth. Got some? Is everybody with me? See, when you look in here and you're trying to see your reflection, or rather the reflection of Jesus Christ, but when you start comparing to that, you'll realize, I ain't made it yet. Amen. You know what you'll do before long? You'll take the Bible, instead of it being a looking glass for you to find out where you're wrong and for you to do better, you'll turn it around like a Q-beam. That's a light too, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
And you'll start looking the wrong way, and you'll start shining it on everybody else's problems. Now, this Bible will point out everybody else's problems. Will it not? I mean, is everybody's sin not brought up in here? Sure it is. But when you flip that thing around, and it ain't a mirror no more for you to see, like, ooh, Lord, I ain't perfect. I ain't attained to nothing.
Amen.
You flip that thing around, you start shining it on all the brethren. You know why? Because you got a false sense of arrival that you've already made it. Oh, you better watch that. I've seen that right there take some pretty good Christians and take them out. Just knock them down. Amen. So, there can't be a false sense of arrival. There's always got to be new heights. Matter of fact, I had read this story one time. This fellow, he was a violin maker. I just thought, this is just so good. This guy was a violin maker, and he went over to Japan to learn from a woodworker and a guy that made violins over there. And he said he would work and work and work on them, and he had the best tools, and he would put all that he could into those violins. And he asked him one time, listen now, he said, how long does it take you to complete one of these violins? And he said, in all the years I've ever been making them, I've never actually finished one. He said, I just work and work and work until they finally come get it and take it. And he was one of the finest violin crafters in the world. Say, why is that? He always knew we can take it just one more notch. Y'all, when you get to a point where you get more spiritual than the Apostle Paul, who would openly say, I've not made it. I'm not perfect. Amen. I mean, I've not attained. And when you get to a point where you feel like you have, and the Bible no longer is a mirror that points out what you can be working on, but it turns into some kind of a spotlight where everybody else has got problems. I'll tell you what, there'll be things begin to take you over. Have you ever imagined what your face would look like if you didn't look at it in a mirror for, let's say, 3 years? Honest to God, have you ever thought about that? That's what Christians start looking like spiritually when they've not looked at themselves in the mirror for 3 years. Now, they've been in the Bible, but they've had that thing flipped around, like, look at Brother Keith, and boy, look what he don't do right. Look what Brother Gary don't do right. Look, you look over here. Amen.
Yeah.
Say, what is that? That's when you've got a false sense of arrival. I've made it, nobody else has. Trying to encourage you to do what? Press on. That'll stop you from pressing on. Now, it's kind of like, you ever had God deal with you about something? Something major. And you get that thing right. Maybe you've been saved 10 years, and you get it right, and you think, man, I believe I got it figured out now. Anybody ever done that? I mean, there ought to be some kind of aha moments in your life where it's like, man, that was my problem. Look at that. All right. And then about 3 or 4 or 5 years pass, and good night, there's something else. It's been there the whole time, and you never even saw it. The Lord saw it the whole time. Amen? You say, what is that? Y'all, there's always those things that need to be picked through and need to be worked on. Always, always. So a false sense of arrival, that'll keep you from pressing forward. And I'll tell you something else. Look what he says in verse number 13. He says there, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now this one thing I do. Now listen, he said, now here's something you got to get. Watch it now. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Let me tell you something else. Not only will a false sense of arrival right there in the text stop you from pressing on and going forward, but a spirit that dwells on yesterday, a mentality that hangs out in yesterday, that'll stop you from going forward. That will stop you from going forward. You say, yep, that's right, Brother Jared. There's a whole bunch of bad stuff in yesterday that we need to forget about. We'll get to that in just a minute. There's a whole bunch of good things in yesterday that you would do well to forget about. I'm not talking about the marvelous works of God. I'm not talking about forgetting when God brought you through a hard time or brought you through a valley or did something for you or answered a prayer. We ought to draw strength off those things. But I'm talking about when you look back and you start looking back at the good old days and you start looking back when things weren't like they are now. I ain't trying to re-preach what the brother was saying last night, but you know what, y'all? You can look back and you can say, you know what? You know what you can do, y'all? I'll tell you this. It seems like just about every church I know goes through a heyday. Where the crowd's big. Amen? Right. It's jumping in there and it's exciting and all that. If you're not careful, once that lull comes, you'll look back and say, well, it just ain't like it used to be. It just ain't where it used to be. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, I guess, I just, listen, and you'll look back on things, and instead of being encouraged at what God had done at one point in time, you'll be discouraged because of where you are right now. You can't look back on yesterday's victories and yesterday's joys in a sense that would cause you to become depressed spiritually. Amen. You can't look back at old accomplishments and just try to draw off that. You've got to try to do something for God now. Yeah. And you can't look back at how good things used to be, because it's funny that when we look back on things, we have a tendency, or maybe the devil clouds our mind, where we don't see how bad that was. We'll look back and the best days were back then. The Bible even says over in the book of Ecclesiastes that it's not wise to say, why were the former days better than these? I could take you over there right now. Am I telling it right, brother? Over in Ecclesiastes, it says it's not a wise thing to look back. You know why? Because ultimately, every one of us is headed for the grave. Amen? So you know what? There's got to reach a point where you really had the best days of your life. You ever thought about that? There has to reach that point. Me and Jess talk about sometimes. We'll be going down the road. And I don't know if y'all have seen my daughter. She'll be the cutest girl in the building. I don't know. Mary Grace would give her a run for her money. But listen. She's a cute little thing right now. She loves her daddy. We took a nap today. And I kind of woke up. And I had my eyes open. Lily was laying over on me right there. And Jess took a picture. She was taking a picture. I was laying there asleep. Amen. You say, what is that? Those are good times. Those are good times. Those are sweet times. She sings little songs. And she... You know, she don't know the words, and she makes up the words and stuff. All that stuff's precious to me. And you know what? And everybody in here, if you're not careful, you know what your mind's doing right now? Your mind will run back to when your kids were little. And you'll start getting depressed over it. Now, it's just practical preaching right now. You'll look back at a time when things were better. I tell her right now, honey, I think we're probably in the best days of our life. You say, oh, Brother Jerry, now maybe. I mean, really? But, I mean, let's just call it what it is. Now, I know. Now, listen, I'm not trying to have my best life now. Amen, if you got your best life now, that means you're going to hell in the next life. Amen. Is that right? You can't go but one or two places. I'm planning on going to heaven. Everything's going to get real good when I get over there. Real good. That's why I said I'm pressing toward the prize over there, man. But in this life, there's going to hit a point where you hit the top of the mountain and everything was about as pleasurable as it was going to get. Then things are going to start on a decline. That's what's going to happen. And you know what? If you're not careful, you start trying to look back over the crest of that mountain at the good old days. You get depressed. Anybody here ever feel that around Christmas time? I might have mentioned that here before. I don't know. But, you know, you can turn on some of that Christmas music. Some, y'all probably don't listen to that stuff. But like a Bing Crosby singing White Christmas. I see y'all grinning. Nat King Cole singing about chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Ain't nobody in here eat chestnuts roasted on an open fire. But we all like to listen to it. You know what it does? You know why they still play the same things from way, 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 way back? You know why they still play them? It brings you into something called nostalgia. I'm not saying that nostalgia's wrong, but you know what? You better be careful of anything that makes you start dwelling on yesterday and become depressed, because these days are not as good as the former days. You better be real, real careful with that. Man, I remember when the kids were little I know I'm not even speaking from experience on this, but I'm preaching you the Bible, because I probably am in the best days of my life right now. You say, you just wait till your kids are grown. You just wait. I understand that, but I'm trying to still tell you a biblical truth is you cannot dwell on yesterday. You can't do it. It don't matter how good it was. Because today is never going to be as good as yesterday. I mean, this Christmas will never be as good as the Christmas back then. Amen. What are you doing? I'm trying to help you. You do the same thing. You can do it spiritually. You get yourself depressed. I'll tell you, you know, you can look back on some times. Paul the Apostle here, this is just written 2 years before his death. And way, way back, he used to run around with a guy named Barnabas. You remember Paul and Barnabas you read about? And there was a point in time when the contention got so sharp between them that they had to part ways. You know what Paul could have been doing sitting there in that Philippian jail? He could have been sitting back and saying, well, ain't no need in writing about joy and stuff and rejoicing, putting that 19 times in four chapters. No need in saying that because, you know, the good old days was back when me and Barnabas were setting the woods on fire for the Lord. And then everything went awry and it all just blew up. I don't even know where Barnabas is anymore. Brother Dennis said he found him over in 1 Corinthians or something, but I don't even know where Barnabas is anymore. I don't even know what he's doing anymore. Amen. And those were the good old days. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. I will say this. I understand that in this physical life that you will hit a point when your health, I don't care if you're a marathon runner, there will come a day you might be able to beat last year's time, beat last year's time, beat last year's time, beat last year's time. There'll come a day when you will not beat last year's time. Amen. There'll come a day when you won't beat last year's time. But I'll tell you this, what you've got to keep in mind is this. Just trying to give you a spiritual B12 shot now. Trying to tell you this, though, when you get saved, though, spiritually, you get eternal life. So everything really just got started now, didn't it? Because when you cross over one day and you get out of this body and this vile body of death falls off of you, you're going to enter over into something where there really is no peak of the mountain. You just hit the mountaintop and it just plateaus. Amen. So what do? You keep your eyes. That's the prize out yonder. Don't get too hung up looking back here at how wonderful everything used to be. You'll mess around and get yourself spiritually depressed. Now, not only do you have to not look back and not get hung up on the victories and on the joys, but what about the mistakes of yesterday? You say, well, Brother Jared, when I look back, I just get hung up on the way, you know, how bad everything's happened and what all I've done wrong. Oh, I'll tell you, Paul the Apostle had really messed up way back there. Is that right? I mean, he had done some really, really bad things, but he said, you know what I've got to do? I have no choice but to decide that I'm not going to keep looking back at what I've done wrong. I'm going to get it confessed. I'm going to get it under the blood, and then I'm going to move forward. Not only can you, I mean, you look back, you dwell on how great yesterday used to be, you'll get depressed, but I'll tell you what, if you look back and you see the mistakes and the sins of yesteryear, you may not get depressed, but you will get defeated spiritually. And you'll be a second-class Christian from now on. From now on. Listen, I don't care what happened in the past. If it's under the blood, you better leave it there. Don't drag it up. And it sure ain't going to be the Holy Ghost of God going to pulling something out from under the crimson flow and saying, look, but look at this that you did 20 years ago. Hey, man, if it's in the sea of God's forgetfulness, then you let it go and quit looking back at it. You leave it back there. Leave it. You'll be a defeated Christian for the rest of your life until you learn to leave it back there. Say, but Brother Jared, it was a big one. It was a big mistake. It was awful. It was a life-changing mistake. I understand. We've all made them, friend. And the best thing you can do is confess it, get it right, and leave it under the blood. You can't dwell on it. You can't dwell on it. Man, you can't let whatever happened in the past define you. Amen. You can't let whatever's back there be the thing that defines who you are. Anybody here saved, could you say amen? If you ain't said amen all night, could you say it if you saved right now?
Amen.
Do you know what you are right now? You're a child of God. You're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, you may be in sin right now, and you ought to get that right. But whatever you did back there, you better just leave it back there. You say, yeah, Brother Jerry, but I used to be a, hey, keep that to yourself. You ain't got to tell me what you used to be. Amen. You ain't got to tell me what you used to be. I heard a preacher get up one time, and he was preaching, and I knew what he was doing. I knew the illustration he was trying to use and the point that he was trying to make. But he got up and he said this. He said, I used to be a drug addict and I used to do this and do that and get in fights and go to the bars and what gamble and whatever big string of things you want to put on somebody that was lost. Ultimately what he's saying is I used to be lost. That's what lost people do. You know why ducks quack? You know why they waddle and swim? Because they're a duck. You know why lost people act like lost people? Because they're lost people. Amen. You used to be a lost person. You know what you did? You acted like a lost person. Some of you, even after you got saved, you might have done something to act like a lost person. But then you got it washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. leave it back there. But he was preaching. His children were sitting there. His wife sitting there. And I know he'd probably said it 100 times, wasn't thinking nothing about it. He said, my wife used to be a prostitute. And I understand what he's trying to say. And if she wants to go speak to a ladies group or something on that, that's one thing. But y'all, I'm going to tell you, that woman right there, she ain't done nothing like that at that particular time in nearly 20 years. Well, the point I'm making is this, and that brother can stand or fall to his own master. The point I'm making is, I don't care if that is what you used to be. I don't care if you used to be a drunk, a dope addict, a jailbird, or whatever in the world you used to be. The best thing you can do is just leave it under the blood and quit trying to drag it back out. Quit looking back at it. I mean, you ain't a drug addict now, are you? If you ain't a drug addict now, we ain't really got much to talk about.
Amen.
Amen. You got it. You can't let that stuff define who you are. That's why when you open up the Bible and Paul is writing these letters, these epistles, you know what he calls himself? Let me tell you what he don't say. Paul the murderer. Now I know that he brought up his sin a couple of times, but it's just a couple of times. He don't say Paul the persecutor of the brethren. Paul the one that wreaked havoc on the church. He don't sign them letters like that. You know what he says? Paul the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Well, he's an apostle there. Used to be a murderer, now I'm an apostle.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So I'll tell you what, when you get to looking back, and you get to looking back on yesterday, you can look back on them victories and joys, and it can get you depressed. Because today might not be as happy as yesterday. But you can look back on mistakes and failures that you made, and you can go ahead and become a defeated Christian from now on. You can look back on griefs and tragedies. And I know it gets real touchy right there. Things that, no, you didn't make a mistake. No, you didn't do anything wrong, but something bad happened. Something real bad happened. If you keep dwelling on that and you keep picking at it, am I telling the truth? You can't keep picking it and picking it and dwelling on it and picking it and picking it and picking it. When I was a kid, both of my parents lived in this little mill village called Bonaire. Anybody here ever heard of that? Where Avondale Mills was? Over in Bonaire. Little old bitty mill village. I went out behind my grandmother's house one day, and I had a little girlfriend at the time. I might have been 10 years old. And I took my pocket knife, and I carved mine and hers initials in a tree. Y'all ever done that? Carved and dug them out in the tree? Went and told her about it. Got them initials carved in the tree with a little heart, you know. If you went to that same tree now, 25 years later, you might see some kind of a mark on it. You might could tell that something had went on there. But what you won't be able to make out is mine and hers initials.
Right.
Do you know why? Because I didn't continue to go back and to redig in it. You say, yeah, but it scarred that tree. I understand. Yeah, but it dug down into the meat of the tree. I understand. But you know what? The Lord's got a way of taking nature.
Yeah.
And you say, what did the natural course of things took over, and it made a scar over that place that used to be a real dugout sore spot.
Yeah.
And since I didn't go back and keep picking at it and picking at it and picking at it, nature took over, and the natural course of things and time began to heal it up, and it patched over it. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
And you know what the Lord will do when there's been some tragedy? Now, if you, on a daily basis, you get up every morning and you want to revisit it.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to go back and get your pocket knife back out and go to digging back in that sore spot.
Yeah.
It won't heal up.
Amen.
But if you'll give it to the Lord, quit dwelling on it and looking at it all the time and picking at it all the time and talking about it all the time and all that. If you'll give that to the Lord, and listen, when you got to talk about it, go to the closet and shut the door and tell your father in secret what's going on. Be careful about talking to the brethren about everything. I'm not talking about when it's your pastor, but be careful about always bringing up something from the past. And don't you know what happened? And don't you know how bad it was? And don't you know about this? And don't you know about that? Again, I'm not talking about when you're talking to your preacher, but be careful about always bringing up the past, whether it be the victories and the joys, whether it be the mistakes and the sin, or whether it be some tragedy of the past that happened to you. You know what time will do? You know what time will do to that tragedy? It'll begin to cover it over.
Amen, brother.
Begin to cover it over. I'm not going to go into it, But y'all have heard me tell the story about when my dad passed away. Just about everybody in here has heard me tell that. Some of y'all heard me tell that right fresh, right after it happened. And again, sometimes we use things for illustration, and I think we even have to be careful about that sometimes. But I was telling about that, and man, I couldn't hardly talk about it without crying my eyes out, Brother Russell. I could sit down and tell you the story tonight and probably not break down. You know why? It didn't keep digging in it. Didn't keep picking at it and looking at it all the time. And then time just did what time does, and it began to scar over those initials, the little dugout stuff in the tree. You can't really make it out. But what are you doing? Listen, I told you this ain't going to be too awful deep, but it's just a little shot in the arm tonight. What? Try to help you what? Keep pressing forward. Just keep pressing forward, man. Don't ever get to thinking, well, I've made it. I've arrived and I'm perfect. You won't press forward. You ain't going to press forward too long if you're trying to walk forward and keep looking back like this for long. You'll stumble. So you got to keep looking forward, pressing on. Now, let me give you just one more thing. Another thing, verse number 14, he says this. And I think we could definitely draw this from the text here. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What about this one? What about this one? He said he's pressing. You know what that means? If he's pressing, that there is pressure and something's pressing back. You know what'll press back on you? Just the pressures of life. That's why he's pressing. It don't say he's casually strolling forward. He's pressing. Why? Something's pushing back. And everything in this life and anything affiliated with your flesh, the world and the devil, is pressing back on you. I'm trying to go forward. I want to get closer to God. I want to go get the prize. You say, what prize? I would love to get to the judgment seat of Christ and maybe at least get one little amethyst or something. Something. I don't want to quit and get knocked out and not get a reward. I'd like to get some form of prize when I get there. You say, oh, Brother Jared, I bet you'll just be just heaped up with stuff. You're crazy, man. You're crazy, man. You say, why is that? Well, a lot of times those pressures of life get to you and it's hard to keep your heart right. Amen. Sometimes it's easy to start doing the Lord's work in the flesh. Why? Because those pressures keep pushing. Y'all, sometimes what it would mean to gain ground or to be pressing is maybe not so much gaining ground, but not losing ground. Sometimes the greatest thing you can do to be pressing, and you're pressing, you can't go no further, but I ain't going back.
Yeah, that's good, brother.
Purpose in your heart. I may not gain a whole bunch of ground, but I ain't going to lose none. I ain't going to lose none. Amen. You know why the Lord lets them pressures come? That's why your life is changing and it's moving and it's going and all this kind of wild stuff happens all the time. Is it just me or does anybody else have a very unorthodox life where just weird stuff happens all the time? I know Russell does. All the time. I'm serious. All the time. Something all the time. Do you know what that is? That's that pressure pushing back. Pushing back. You know why the Lord does that? Because if you never had to press any at all, you'd become like a fat, lazy Christian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You said, we ought not say that. But y'all know what I meant, though, didn't you? That's plain, you know. pressing. It's like I've probably told this here before, but you think about somebody going to the gym and they want to get stronger. They're going to lift weights. One of those exercises is called the bench press. Again, like I say, I might have told y'all this before. I know I have some Pleasant Grove folks, but I think about it like this. And they lay down on that bench there, and they're pressing, right? Bench pressing. Well, if you get in there and all you got on there is the bar, that's 45 pounds. Grown man's got the bar. He said, man, I can do this all day long. Well, I'm sure you can. Hopefully you can. Is everybody with me? So what are we going to do? You come in there and you say you want to get any stronger? We're going to put some more plates on here. We're going to have to increase the weight if you're going to get any stronger.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of times we ask the Lord for strength, but we don't want any more weight.
That's good.
Amen. Normally the strength is built because more weight comes. Then more strength comes. Then more weight comes. Then more strength comes. That's why God, He keeps turning the heat on and turning the heat on, turning the heat on. turning the weight up, and the pressure, pressing back down. And you ever seen them guys, and they'll get in there, and they'll be screaming and hollering and all that, and big old fellas in there? You say, why are they doing that? They want their muscles to be stronger. That's what they want. They want to get stronger and get bigger muscles, you know, physically. So they get underneath that thing, and they put that weight on there, and they start going, and they're pressing. Is that right? Pressing. And they say, I think I got 8 of them in me. And really, they ain't got but about 6. You know why? Because if they really want to build some muscles, they have to be willing to press to the point of exhaustion. To where what? Really can't press no more. Them guys will be going, they'll be pumping that weight. And then it'll hit like this, and it'll be a slow one. Barely lock it in. You know what I'm talking about? Then it'll come down, touch your chest, and then here he comes. He gets about 6 inches off his chest and starts trembling. And he hits a point where he has gridlock. He ain't going back, but he ain't going forward. Why? The pressure's too great. Of course, then, that's where the spotter comes in. Let's just take the analogy on out. And the spotter, you know what that spotter's there for? That spotter's not there, Brother Jerry, to jump up on the back of that weight and say, I got you, buddy, and snatch that up and put it up there on the bar for him. A good spotter will take 1 or 2 fingers, and he'll start under it like this. You say, yeah, but why don't he get the weight off the man? Because the man needs the weight on him. The man needs the pressure. He needs the work. Why? Because he'll never get stronger. With the spotter that's going to come in and save the day, you'll never get any stronger. But he starts helping him just 2 fingers, and he says something like this. Come on, man, you got it. Come on, man, you got this. Just keep pressing. It ain't gonna crush you. I'm not going to let it crush you. I'm just going to help you just enough so that you'll be stronger when this is over with. And that's exactly what it'll do. And that pressure comes in, and you say, I've got more weight than I can handle. I've got more than I can do. You know what some of you ought to do sometime? Find you a Christian brother or sister that'll become a good spotter for you. You say, hey, could you just give me about 2 fingers worth of prayer this week? I'm struggling. I'm hurting. The pressure's getting to me. And I'll tell you what, the Spirit of God will reach down. Listen, you listen to me. He's not going to let you drop the weight on yourself and kill yourself. It ain't going to be like that. It ain't going to be like that. You say, well, I just think that, nope, that pressure's there just to make you stronger. And the thing is, when muscles are breaking down, it hurts, don't it? And it's sore and it's tiring. And that lactic acid builds up and you're burning and you feel like you can't hardly lift your arms. But boy, you let that happen for about 6 or 8 weeks, and all of a sudden you realize I can lift more than I could before. Why? I got stronger. If you're going to be strong in the Lord, it's going to take some pressure. It's going to take some pressure. And I'll tell you this, that pressure sometimes, though, when them things get to burning and you get to hurting and all that, you know what it'll make you guys want to do? If they ain't really set their eyes on the prize, I want to bench press 350 pounds. If they ain't really set their eyes on the prize, you know what they'll do? Did anybody ever join the gym in January and quit about the middle of February? Amen. Don't think of joining Planet Fitness in January. Amen. There'll be everybody in town in there. You join about the end of February, you'll have it to yourself. You know why? People wanted to join, they got excited and they got all worked up. And then when the pressure got too much and it got too cumbersome to try to go and the weight got too much and the work got too much, I just don't want to do it no more. I think I'll just quit. So what are you doing? I'm encouraging you tonight. You hang in there. You keep pushing. You keep pushing back. Get on your knees and push back. Get in this book and push back. When you don't feel like being in church, press on. Drag up in there. When you're sick, lay down on the back pew and let the preacher feed you something to try to help you spiritually. And you dig in and you hang on. Amen. Don't get hung up on how good yesterday used to be. You'll get depressed. Don't get hung up on how bad you were. You'll get defeated. Don't think that you got no more mountains to climb. Why? You'll stall out and you'll become stagnant. You keep pressing. And remember, God's got that weight on there to help you get stronger. That's the whole purpose. Whole purpose. If not, He'd already just take you to heaven. You know what He's doing, though? He's letting you do better one day when the prizes get handed out. He's giving you an opportunity to do better at the judgment seat of Christ when the prizes are handed out. I'll tell you this in closing. I like this little story. He said this fellow, he'd been a POW over in Vietnam. He'd been there for a while. And they said that they got to where they were getting close to turning them guys loose. They knew that everything's fixing to change. They're fixing to have to turn them loose. So they said they started letting them receive packages from home. And they said he would get these little care packages with some little sweets and stuff in there from his family. And they said inside the package, though, they had little pieces. Somebody must have known the guy and known that he would have been sharp enough to catch it. Had little bitty pieces of thread, Brother Dennis. Red, white, and blue thread. And they said that fellow was over there, and they said they stayed in this little old place, had him confined in this little hut thing, and they had one little old light hanging from the ceiling. And they said at night that guy would get those pieces of thread, and he finally got a little needle, and he started sewing an American flag on the back of one of their pieces of fabric. And they said he finally got that flag completed, and they would hang it up. Now, we're soldiers for the Lord, ain't we? I mean, we signed up to be soldiers for the cross, didn't we? They said that every night they'd hang that up, and them guys would get around and very quietly say the Pledge of Allegiance, salute that flag. That's what they were fighting for. And they said that he got found out. They said they took his flag and ripped it all up and tore it to shreds and took him outside and beat him real bad and brought him back in. They said that night, everybody else had done laid down. They said that fella rolled over, and he began to drag himself over across that floor. And he went over there to where that little flag was all torn up, Brother Dennis. And he got his little material and started laying it back out. Got his little needle back out. Took his shirt back off and started sewing it back on there again. You say, what was that? That was a man that had his eyes on the prize. Now, I ask you this. You say, Brother Jared, I've been whipped up on pretty good. I've been beat up on pretty good. I'm encouraging you tonight. Press on. Don't dwell on yesterday. Look at the goodness of the Lord that's going to be right there waiting on you. The mercy that's going to be new tomorrow morning.
Amen.
You look back and say, the mercy of God was good back then. Oh, I know it was good back then. It'll be good in the morning, too. Be good in the morning. Press on. Press on. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Preacher, if you'd come.